Morning, Rabbi Sai. Limud of Halacha every day, as is should be a zechus for the refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Hishtav Refuah Shleim Bekorov, Vesoy Shal Chayla Yisrael. He actually sent a text out yesterday saying that he's in hospital in New York and that he does need our tefillahs. He's been through a rough time. So, Vesoy Shal Chayla Yisrael, let's learn Halacha. This week, let's put it this way. Next Shabbos will be, Motz Shabbos will be Tisha B'Av, and therefore the set different halachas of Avdolah, Legaba, Tisha B'Av, Motzah Tisha B'Av, making Avdolah, not Motz Shabbos, but Motz Tisha B'Av instead. But this week, Motz Shabbos is already the second day of the 9 days. And therefore there's a problem. What do we make Avdolah on? Right? Well, we want to make Avdolah. So there are various minhogim and there are various dinim. But the thing to remember basically is as follows. Some people make Havdalah of Sheikhor. Some people make Havdalah of Chamar Medina, which Sheikhor is beer, which in England used to be a Chamar Medina. And in fact, somebody mentioned in Shir the other day that if you look back at any sort of medieval books, ale was the standard drink that they drank with as every meal. Yeah, they had ale for breakfast and ale for lunchtime and ale for supper. Yeah, ale is beer. Yeah, so that was Zecher Chamar Medina, and until recently, I don't know now with all the wine bars and the Chvais Yishros, I don't know whether or not it's still, and all the pubs closing like 2 a week or something, whether or not it's still called Chamar Medina, I don't know. Then there's the argument about whether tea is Chamar Medina, and certainly if the tea is boiling hot, you certainly can't make a brocha on it and be Yotze Havdalah, because you won't be able to drink all of it straight away, so you'd have to let it cool down a bit. If you let it cool down a bit, is it still Chamar Medina, because the tea isn't hot anymore? So cold tea isn't Chamar Medina, or lukewarm tea isn't Chamar Medina. Anyway, there's some people who make on Sheikha, there's some people who make on Chamar Medina, some people, if they've got a cotton, then they will give the wine or the grape juice of Havdalah to a cotton. How old is a cotton? A cotton could be a katana as well. Yeah, so there's arguments. Some people say it's a cotton she'ena yedeh le'isabel, a cotton who doesn't understand the 9 days or the severity of not drinking and not eating certain things in order to show avelus. And they say that would be be'erich up to the age of 6, they think. Yeah, there's 6. 5, 6, was? You're saying 9. There are some poskim who say up to 13. There's some people say a cotton is a cotton, and if he's a cotton, he's not mechuyev in the chumras of the 9 days al pi alocha. Yeah, it's only chinuch, and therefore, in order to us. But I must say, in the half minute that we've got, bottom line is, if your minig is to make on sheichel, make on sheichel. If your minig is to make on tea, make on tea. Your minig is to give to a cotton, and you've got a cotton available of any age up to 13. Maybe give it to a cotton, but the stima saposkim is you can drink the wine yourself. So if you normally make Havdalah on wine on Motzah Shabbos, you normally make Havdalah on grape juice on Motzah Shabbos, then Alpidin is certainly mutter, and some people would say it's even preferable that you should drink the wine. But if you have minhogim, the gabba, not drinking the wine yourself, it says here that Ochas Rabbeinu brings down for the stipler, he drank the wine on Motzah Shabbos from the Avdolah, and then many poskim say that you can drink the wine yourself, you're not doing it for Hanor, and I suppose, although nobody seems to mention this, especially if it's grape juice and it's not wine, yeah, there doesn't seem to be a problem, al pi halacha, of drinking it yourself.
Started at the Thoroughway, North West London, Thursday, Kaptes Tammuz, 24th of July. Rabbi Shlomo Manus, Shlita, Parsha, and the 3 weeks. District Thoroughway is sponsored in Nishma, Morris, Mark, Bas, Romero, Paul, and Lua Shalom. This fourth yard site was yesterday, the Swiss. Ashavoy, Mark, Kailin, Ramil, Samot, Yachzaru, Levotel, Shalom, Bim, Heiro.
Shimon, thank you for the Chamar Medina.
It's a coffee called Chamar Medina today.
It's tea.
Two Englishmen. Good morning to all those present and all those around the world. This week, this Shabbos is the Yahrzeit of my Zayda. So you'll ask me, no, who's your Zayda? I'll tell you who my Zayda is. The Torah in this week's Parshas Maaseh tells us, during the Masois, the Torah says, Vayal Aaron Nakoyin El Hoy Raho Al Pi Hashem, Vayomashom Bishnas Haboim Letzeis Bnei Someret Mitzrayim, Bachoydesh HaChamishi Be'echot LaChoydesh. Rosh Chodesh Ov is the Yotzeit of Aaron Nakoyin. And Baruch Shem was Zoichot to be one of his Einik LaChoyin. So the obvious question is, Fashtetzech is my Zeta, but why was he Zoichot as the only person whose Yotzeit is mentioned anywhere in the Torah? We don't find not Avram, it's not Yaakov, not the Shvatim, Moshe Rabbeinu. It's all Chazals and Gemaras, and they learn from here, and they deduce from there. If he was Nifter so many days before the Aaron HaKohen, the Torah is fine, and he writes it straight, as you say, written in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Maaseh. And then even more than that, when does the Torah Bichlal tell us that Aaron HaKohen was Nifter? In Parsha's Chukas, after the whole story with hitting the rock, the Torah then tells us Aaron HaKohen was Nifter. Shouldn't the Torah have written it there? Torah waits for Parshas Maaseh? You're telling us the Masoros, where they traveled, the middle of he throws it. Oh, you know what? Aaron HaKohen was Nifter on this day. What's it got to do with it? It seems to be very irrelevant. And Bichlal, why was Aaron HaKohen Zoicha more than anybody else? The Gemara, famous Gemara in Yuma, the Gemara tells us, Bais Rishon was Nechrav because of the Gimel Averus Chamurois, Ritzicha, Avodah Zorah, Gilaroyos, Bayesheni, the Gemara asked, they were learning Torah, they were keeping mitzvahs. What happened? Zog the Gemara Sinas Chinam. So everybody asks in the different lines. You can understand if somebody Chasram did Avodah Zorah. Basically, if you're doing Avodah Zorah, you're telling Hashem, I don't need you, I don't want you, I've got the Ketchkin, I've got a little idol, that's fine for me. Ritzicha, you've got no value for life, you've got nothing. Gilu Aroyos, Rachmad Litzan. There's maybe a room to understand why the Rabbein Shalom had to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Sinas Chinam, it's a terrible thing. But Sinas Chinam, Ad Kedei Kach, Sinas Chinam is enough of a reason to destroy the Bayis Sheini. What's happening? The Alter Mikelm has a whole Maim Barichas to go into it, to cut him up to the chase. He basically says, and this is how we accept, and this is how we take on. Many people think the midas, the way a person acts, penodim lechaveru, is one of the tariyat mitzvahs. We have a mitzvah called Shabbos, we have a mitzvah called Tefillin, and we also have a mitzvah, you know what, be nice to your fellow Jew. Says the Alter Mikelm, that's incorrect. The foundations of Yiddishkeit are penodim lechaveru. If you lack penodim lechaveru, then you can have a most beautiful building built. But as you all understand, if the foundations are crumbling and the foundations are rotten, that building has no kiyum to it. So the Alter Mikelm, it's very nice. They might be learning Torah. Oh, but they lack the foundations of Ben Adam Lechaveroi. They lacked anything to keep that building standing, the spiritual building, and automatically it plays off against the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash gets destroyed. And we see that clearly. There's one time in history of Klal Yisrael, as far as I know, but there was Achdus. Everybody tells you Achdus, everybody talks about Achdus, everybody sells Achdus. But there's only one time when we know there was Achdus. Where was that? By Matan Torah, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Aho, says Chazal, why did it say in the singular Loshon, Vayichan, no Vayachanu? Because you needed Kish Echot, Belev Echot. That is a prerequisite for getting the Torah. You can't just get the Torah and afterwards work on your midas. No. There has to be midas first, and then you can get the Torah. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash, if you love a fellow Yid, there's a chance you'll love the Ribbono Shel Olam too. But if you can't show a love to something that's tangible, something you can see, something that you can feel here, then it's very, very hard to have a true Avas Hashem to something we know is here, but it's not tangible. We don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it starts with Avas Yisrael. A Yid, you have to love one another. If you have midas, you have everything. If you lack midas, then unfortunately it might all look good outside. But as we say, the foundations are rotting. I want to tell you a Muridika Maisa that I heard many years ago when I was a Bocher in Shari Torah. I had to travel. I was invited to Chasna Gated. I was learning in Manchester. I was looking for a ride. trying to get it right to the chassid, like Yeshiva Bochum Netzor, you say you call it a tramp, you stand there with your thumb out, you try to get it right. So I was a bit more yekish, brought up, as you might say, and I looked in advance. So somebody told me there's a Yid Berish Weiss, he's going up to the chassid. Berish Weiss is the one and only son of the Minchas Yitzchok. The Minchas Yitzchok, the famous Minchas Yitzchok, was a tiny Manchester for many years before he went over to Eretz Yisrael. The Minchas Yitzchok had one and only child, Berish Weiss. For those who remember, he was an Agudist many years ago. I think, Reb Shimon, you'll agree with that. Till his father went on the Eidah Haredes, and then he had to make a bit of a swing to the other way. I called Berish Weiss and I said, my name is Shlomi Manas, you know my Zeta from Manchester, Chulei. So I'm looking for a ride. He said, okay, let's make a deal. Do you have a driving license? I said, yeah. You drive? I said, and what will you do? He said, well, I'll tell you stories. I said, okay, that's a good deal. I'll drive, you tell me stories. He says to me, I wanted to, we go in the car. He's telling me all different stories about his father. He said to me, my father was married 3 times. I mean, Chassid Chok was married as a bocha. He learned the gross of Italian. He was a Talmud of, I can't remember who, of one of the Grosser Gedoli Apoiskim in where the gross of Italian is, in Eastern Europe. And he got married. He lost his first wife while they were escaping from the war. He remarried when he got to Manchester. She was Nifta, and the third wife he married was the Grusha of Reb Yidler. If you know Reb Yidler, the Jikova, buried in Enfield, that was his third wife. He was zoicha to one son. From all these 3 marriages, he had one child, which was Reb Berish Weiss, the son of the Minchas Yitzchok. And Reb Berish Weiss told me the story like this. In those days, it was accepted, especially by the Mochasida Sholom, that you made the shidduch, very often you didn't meet the kala. The parents had to go between, they heard good reports, and gegangen, they made the shidduch, and that's how they met, and they didn't meet.
Are you allowed to?
That's a different question. I can tell you many gedolim where it happened to, and without going into things afterwards, I can tell you in private, not something to be publicized with yourself. I can tell you gedolim where it happened. And it ended in tragedy sometimes, unfortunately. No, the Rambam brings the Tchai of Adam to see the color. And even the Chassidim are making that at least once, for as they call it, the half an hour meeting, but minimum, at least became the Rambam. But he didn't meet. He said the distances, Reb Berish Weiss told me the distances were very great in those days. The Chassidrach was a bocha then sat and learned Yoimim Balayla, and he probably didn't feel he had the time to go to meet. He didn't meet. After that, during the engagement period, which was a long period, his mother, the Minchas Yitzchok's mother, found out that the Kala has some quite serious mum. I don't know exactly, he didn't go into more details, but he told me the Kala had a serious mum, and his mother wanted to break off the shidduch, and she had every right to break off the shidduch. So Mekach Tos, nobody told him about it. She had every right to break off the shidduch, and she was pushing her son, the Minchas Yitzchok, who was a bocha then, to break up the shidduch. Why do you have to carry on? You'll admit him, find a good, healthy wife. Why do you need to marry this girl? And the Minchas Yitzchok kept telling his mother like this: "You're right. But the Rebbe Shem has his drachin. The Rebbe Shem has his ways. The Rebbe Shem knows what he's doing. I am not going to embarrass the Bas Yisrael by breaking off a shidduch. As we all know, unfortunately, people break off shidduchim, and it always leaves a black mark against your name. And some of them never get married again because of it." He says, "I chas v'sholom on my places. I can't do such a thing." His mother's pushing him and pushing him and pushing him. He says, "B'shum panim v'ofen, you don't want to come to my chasna. I'll fully understand, but I'm not breaking off the shidduch." They got married, and he said to me, "Al-pi ha-teva, the Minchas Yitzchok could not have children. He could not have children. He was zoicha," the Minchas Yitzchok himself said afterwards once to his son Berish, "he was only zoicha to this one ben yochid, b'schus, he didn't break off the shidduch. He was zoicha to that one child. The wife was then nifta, she was killed while they were escaping the Nazis in Europe. He got to Manchester, he married a young lady, didn't have any children. He couldn't have children. He married a third wife, didn't have any children. Minchas Yitzchok said to me, I was born b'schus of the midas toivus of my father." He said, "Pshutik mashmad, Reb Yisham made a ness. Shaloy al pi ha-teva, I was not meant to be here. Now my father went with this derech of midas toivus, you don't lose by it. And my father married my mother. She was killed very young, but I was born b'schus that." That's a story I heard from Rabbi Schweiss himself. We see Mizrach that everybody knows, there's thousands of stories of people, nobody ever loses from Midas Toivus. Nobody ever loses. That's for sure. Person with Midas, you only gain. Sometimes you might look, it might look as though you have a short loss in the short term, but in the long term, I think we'll all agree, nobody ever loses. There is a famous Gemara in Bechairis, very difficult Gemara to understand. I'm sure many of you know the Gemara. In Bechairis, Davches, Amid Aleph, Amid Beis, the Chachmei Atuna, the Athens, the wise men of Athens, together with Rabbi Shua ben Hanania, and they were asking all sorts of very interesting questions. One of the questions is like this. The Gemara tells us, I see the Utre Bayo. They brought him two eggs. Amrule, they said to him, Hai dezagdo uchmati, v'hai dezagdo chivalti. One comes from a dark chicken, and one comes from a light chicken. Can you tell us which egg is from the light chicken, and which egg is from the dark chicken? So what does he do? He doesn't answer them. Aisiru, he brings them, trei gvini, two pieces of cheese. Amalu, he says to them, Hai deize uchmati, v'hai deize chivalti. One comes from a white coat, and one comes from a dark coat. What's going on here? It's a strange question to ask. I'll give you two eggs, and I'll say, which one's on this chicken? Oh, that's enough kamina. This egg, that egg, they all taste the same, they all fry the same. Sunny side up, as they call it, whatever, they're all the same. What's the difference? It comes from a white chicken, a dark chicken. And what's he going? He brings two pieces of cheese. What sort of territory is that? I'll give you two pieces of cheese. Now you tell me, which is the white coat? Tastes the same. You'll make the same, whatever, soft cheese, cottage, whatever you call it, from the milk. What's the difference where it comes from? The Marsha has a Moritika Mahalach. The Marsha says it takes 21 days for an egg to go from whenever it starts the process inside the chicken until it hatches and a little chick comes out. 21 days. They were being Maramas to Rabbi Shua ben Hananya that twice in the year, in the Jewish calendar, we have 21 days. 21 days from Shivos of Tammuz until Tisha B'Av. And then we have 21 days from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. If you'd ask me, one is, put in simple English, one's black and one's white. Time of Rosh Hashanah, it's a Muritika time. Kirva Selekim, everybody feels his Seiros, everybody feels close to the Bein Shleilom. Everybody wants to do what they can to better themselves. Everybody wants to be involved in everything. It's a Maritika time, so close to the Rabbi Shlomo. The Rabbi Shlomo sort of, you feel the Rabbi Shlomo's here standing next to you in shul in the middle of Nehila. That's a time of white, of clarity. You see the Rabbi Shlomo. What do we know? With the 21 days of Avelus. It's a terrible time. All the tragedies that we have in Klal Yisrael, from the day of Churban Abayis until today, are all coming out from the Churban. The Inquisition, the Holocaust, the Cossacks, what's going on there to Saul, everything is all because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So you'd think these are dark days. These are days when the Rebbein Shlomo's not around. We don't feel the Rebbein Shlomo. You know, we're davening Rosh Hashanah Melecho every year and we say, yo, this year we're not going to be fasting Tisha B'Av. And unfortunately we know 1 year after another year we didn't fast Tisha B'Av. We didn't want to fast Tisha B'Av. Not last year, not 2 years ago, not 10 years ago, never year, never. We fast Tisha B'Av. It feels like dark days to us. Chachmei Atuna were asking him, can you explain to us the difference between these days? The white egg, the white 21 days of getting close to the Bein Shalom in Tishri against the 21 dark days, the dark egg. So he took two pieces of cheese, a soy, a goat. Where do you find a goat in the Torah? The two goats that were bought, one was Lashem on Yom Kippur, one was Lazazel. If I would ask you about these two goats, one is Moritik, he's going to be brought in the middle of the Yom Kippur service on the Mizbeach. Psh, he's the luckiest goat in the world. In the middle of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol himself is going to do the Avodah. It's Moritik. And what's going to never happen to the other one? You're going to walk a few miles out of town and kick him off the hill and never let him, you know, break up into smithereens, into little bits. You'd say, Nebuch, such a Nebuchal goat. Look what's going to happen to him, not Shechtin, not even the Kohen Gadol, nobody. Garnish, you just push him off a hill as if you don't want him, you ignore him. It's terrible. But what does that locha tell us? The locha clearly tells us the two goats have to be identical. Barai, if one of them dies, you have to go look for another one, or you have to find another pair. What's the difference between halacha and identical or not? What do I care? Identical, not identical, what's the difference? Elomai, the halacha is telling us, even though it might look as though one of them is coming close to Hashem, he's a soil Hashem, he's brought on the Mizbeach, while the other one never has kicked down the mountain, a soil Azazel, but in truth, in the eyes of the Rebbeinu Shloilom, they're identical. Everything is a service to the Rebbeinu Shloilom. That's what Rabbi Shlomo ben Chananya answered. What does he want to say? He wanted to tell him, it might look like Lashem, it might look like the white days, the days of Tishri. Or it might look like Lazozel. Nebuch, sometimes we feel like Azazel now in the days of the Churban, the 21 days between Shivas Batamos and Tisha B'Av. But no, in the eyes of the Rebbeinu Shlomo, they're identical. They're identical. These days are identical days. These are days of time to get close to the Rebbeinu Shloilom. And I'll tell you even more than that. There's a Moiridika Yalkut Shimoni. The Yalkut Shimoni says, in Parshas Pinchas, in last week's Parsha, when the Yalkut Shimoni, when the Torah is telling us all the different kabbonis, listen to the words of the Yalkut Shimoni. Amar Reb Levi, have you ever wondered to yourself, why is it that Tishri has so many Yomim Tovim? You just about finished one Yom Tov, you got the next, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, like, couldn't the Rebbeinu Shem spread them out a little bit, give us a bit of breathing space, and you say, why is everything condensed into one month? So listen to the Yalkut Shimoni. Amar Reb Levi. Reb Levi said, "B'chol chodesh v'chodesh shabakayit." In all the months of the summer, "Bikeish Hakadosh Baruch Hu liten Yisrael moed." In all the 6 months of the summer, the Rebbeinu Shem wanted to give us a Yom Tov. B'nissen nosan em Pesach. We have Pesach in Nissen. B'iyah nosan em Pesach. Cotton, we have Pesach Sheni, which is also Yom Tov. They brought the Korban Pesach. Those who couldn't, B'sivon, he gave us Atzeres, Shavuos, B'Tamuz, Hoya B'datoy, Litten Lehem Moyed Godel. Not just a normal Moyed, a Moyed Godel, a great Yom Tov. But, V'osu Ha'egel. Shavuos B'Tamuz, as we know, they made the Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu came down, they were doing the Egel. Bitel Tammuz of Vo'elo. The Rebbeinu Shem pushed everything off from Tammuz of and Elul. Ubar Tishrei came in the month of Tishrei. Uporelehem Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippur V'Sukkos V'Shmini Atzeres. Rebbeinu Shem pushed everything to the month of Tishrei. It's just a payback for the month. So really, Tammuz, now we're sitting in Tammuz. Shivas B'Tammuz should have been Rosh Hashanah. Tisha B'Av should have been Yom Kippur. Sometime in Elul, there's a machlokes between a lot of the Achronim, the Ben Ishchai, and others. When in Elul would have been Sukkos, or it would have been Aleph Elul, or it would have been Tetzvav Elul. But sometime in Elul should have been Sukkos. And then Shmini Atzeres would have been in Tishri, and would have been nicely divided up, equally divided. That's what the Yalkut Shimoni tells us. So if so, according to this Yalkut Shimoni, these 21 days are really the same 21 days. You look at the 21 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur till Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, right? And those are the ones we know. But really, from Shavuos B'Tammuz and onwards, from Shavuos B'Tammuz till Tisha B'Av, should have been between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the same 21 days of lightness. It looks in our human eyes as if it's dark days. But the Yalkut Shimoni is teaching us it's really light days. It's not dark b'chlal. These are days we can get so close to the Rebbeinu Shloilom. It's a different way of getting close to the Rebbeinu Shloilom. It's a way of getting close to the Rebbeinu Shloilom through, because we see the suffering, because we know what's happening, because we see everybody's, I'm sure, been in Eretz Yisrael in the recent past, heard all the stories, the sirens are going, it's a shame they should stop, but they're still going. Last Friday night, I was in having the Shabbos meal, 10:25, another siren, we had to run again to the safe room for another 10 minutes. The Yid and Klal Yisrael is going through difficult times across the world. What's happening in Eretz Yisrael with the milchamas and the wars and anti-Semitism around the world. Klal Yisrael might be going through difficult times. But it's there to awaken us. The Rebbeinu Shem is with us. The Nisim, Gluyim, the open Nisim that we see in Eretz Yisrael every single day. I mean, I'm sure many of you saw pictures of what a building looked like after one Iranian missile hit, and it took down a half a building. There came some as 40, 50 missiles at the time. 49 of them were gone, broken up by the Iron Dome. It's all the Ribbono Shloilom. I heard from a Yid. I was in America, but I met a Yid who was involved with the Iron Dome. And he told me in most of the world, they say it has about a 70% success rate. In Eretz Yisrael, they say it's close to 95%. What is it, the climate? Dan Duna told me yesterday, when I told him this, he told me that he told him a story the other week, came to him. He lives in Pisgat Zev in Yerushalayim. It's a neighborhood that's becoming more Haredi in the last few years. And on, I think it was Erev Pesach, a soldier, a high-ranking soldier in the Israeli army, walked into one of the local supermarkets there. There were a lot of younger light from people doing shopping there. And he said, I want to pay the bill for everybody who's here. All the from Hebrew here now, load your shopping carts. Take a second one, a third one. I'm paying all the bills. So afterwards, one of them went over to him and said, psh, Meiritik. You know, we've all lived, Kimchet Pischa, all sorts of stuff. What made you want to pay our bills? He said, let me tell you, I came back yesterday from Ukraine. I am one of the people, the main operators of the Iron Dome system in Eretz Yisrael. And we got a phone call a couple of weeks ago from the Ukrainian army. They've also got the Iron Dome. They've got the Christ of Tzaddik, Mr. Putin, is bombing them day by day. They've also got the Iron Dome. They can't work out. They've got 47% success rate. But they're here in Israel, we've got 95%. They must be doing something wrong. So they asked, they called the Israeli government, the Israeli army, could you send over a representative to maybe teach us and train us? I went over myself, he said, to Ukraine a couple of weeks ago. I watched them, I observed them, I checked their systems. Everything is working perfect. They're doing the same as us. They're pressing the same button, the same calculator, the same measurements. So why have they only got 47%? Maybe it's the weather, and I checked weather, and I checked speed of the winds and directions. Garnished. He said, I came, and it's a friar soldier. He said, I came to the conclusion there's only one answer to it. And the answer's called the Ribbono Shel Olam. He said, if there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, there's Torah, there's from people. He said, I wasn't Zoicha. But at least the minimum I can do is go and pay for the from people for the Yom Tov. This is a story that Dad told me I had a few weeks ago. We see how the Ribbono Shel Olam is with Klal Yisrael. It might look dark days, it's war, it's frightening. On the other hand, the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us. The Ribbono Shel Olam is watching us. The Ribbono Shel Olam is helping us. All through the generations, we don't understand why things happen. People came along. I don't know if you know, Ramotcha Neugeshal. Ramotcha Neugeshal is one of the most famous speakers. He goes down to the top generals in the Israeli army to try and prove to them why there is the Ribbono Shel Olam, when they say there's unfortunately more and more of the movement of atheism and no Ribbono Shel Olam. He said he was sitting once and a Yid came over to him, one of these big army generals, and said to him, where was the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Holocaust? 6 million brothers were killed. Where was the Ribbono Shel Olam? So he looked at him and says, oh, thank you. He says, what do you mean? He says, you know, most people say there was no Ribbono Shel Olam. You agree there was a Ribbono Shel Olam. You're just asking where he was. But at least you agree there was a Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, for sure the Ribbono Shel Olam was there. Why it happened? We don't understand Cheshbon and Shemaim. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us all at all times. Why things happen like this and why this one happens like that? We're not meant to get the answers. We're not meant to know the answers. I remember once I met Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. And he told me that morning he'd met a Yid, and he'd came to him with all sorts of tightness on the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm suffering with this, my wife's suffering with that, and my kid's suffering with this, and I haven't got panos. He's crying away to Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. And he said to Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, you're a rabbi! Give me the answers! So Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky says to him, look, the only one who has the answers is the Ribbono Shel Olam. You want an appointment? I can get you an appointment. Just decide, do you want it tomorrow after 120? That's it. The Ribbono Shel Olam has the answers. He doesn't expect us to have the answers. You want an appointment tomorrow? We can get you one, but then, you know, it's going to cost you something. The Ribbono Shel Olam's with us. It's Meridic at times. Even more than that, I was thinking about it. The 21 days. If you take this whole period now, there's a whole load of 21 days. There's 21 days from Shivos Betamuz until Tisha B'Av. For the Yeshiva Bochim, there's 21 days, 3 weeks of Bein Hazmanim. This year, there's 21 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul to we start saying Slichas. I think we start saying Slichas on Chof Aleph or Chof Beis. And then there's the 21 days from Rosh Hashanah to Lashana Rabbah. Every one of those 21 days has a different purpose in getting close to Ribbono Shel Olam. During the Churban days, there's a way of getting close to Ribbono Shel Olam through the suffering, or as we feel it's suffering. The 21 days of Bein Hazmanim, the Stipler writes many times at the time of like holidays when a person's off the regular schedule, is a time for them to draw close to Ribbono Shel Olam. You can learn what you want. You can do different mitzvahs that maybe during the rest of the year you can't. 21 days of Elul. Anila doidi v'doidi li. Elul is mamish the time to get close to Ribbono Shel Olam. The 21 days, starting from Rosh Hashanah till Shana Rabbah, I don't think needs any explanation. The time to get close to Ribbono Shel Olam. Why 21? I don't know. But seemingly 21, it must have some significance somewhere along the line. But we have all these different periods of 21 days, and they all change. It's Bein Hazmanim, it's Elul, it's Rosh Hashanah, it's the Zman of the Churban. But it's all our 21 days of times to draw close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what we have to do. And that's why, going back to the original question that we asked, why was Aaron HaKohen Zoicha to have his Yahrzeit written in the Torah? Why? When Yosef met Binyamin after they came down to Mitzrayim, what does the Torah tell us? They cried on each other's shoulders. Why? Because they saw the Beis HaMikdash. Pshat is already then in the time of Yosef and Binyamin, the Ribbono Shel Olam already knew it's going to happen. It's inevitable, it's going to happen. Afterwards, the Gemara looks for a reason. We have to understand, we're not going to go into the whole question of Bechira. But they already knew then it was going to happen. The Ribbono Shel Olam wrote the Torah, he also knew it. What was Aaron HaKohen known for? What does the Mishnah tell us? Havei mi talmidov shel Aaron oyev shalom v'roidev shalom. Where do we need that powerful message of shalom, of midas? Especially in the 3 weeks. So Torah says, I'm going to write Aaron HaKohen's Yahrzeit, the only Yahrzeit that's ever written in the Torah. And I'm going to specially write it Matos Maseh, which is definitely, always, must be read during the 3 weeks, to teach you and to remind you and to tell us, Havemi Tilmidov Shel Aaron. Remember about Aaron. It's Aaron HaKohen's Yahrzeit. Remember, follow his derech. Oyev Shalom, Veroidev Shalom. That's why the Torah writes only Aaron HaKohen, and that's why the Torah chooses to dafka put it in Maseh, to give us that message, to remind us, Midas Toivas, that is the foundation of Klal Yisrael. There is, from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz until Rosh Hashanah, how many days? The 72 days. 72 is the gematria of Chesed. Chesed is 72. And more than that, we say in the Baruch of Tekah B'Shofar, Baruch Ato Hashem Mekabetz Nidche Amo Yisrael. What's the gematria of Nidche? Also 72. You want to use these 72 days from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz to Rosh Hashanah? You want the Ribbono Shel Olam to be Mekabetz Nidche? There's only one answer. Chesed. 72, Chesed. Chesed is Midas. The person does Chesed, he gives from himself. That's the biggest Midas Tovis. I'm giving from myself, my time, my effort, my money, whatever it might be. Fayena, that is the biggest Midas. Mekabetz Nidche, if you do Chesed, the Mitzvah Hashem will be Zoiches still this year. The Gula Ashleima B'Meher of Yomenu. Thank you very much.
Beautiful.
Mickey has your tuck today.
What?
Good. Mickey has your tuck today. For Margaret. Today.
Who's your tuck?
Margaret. Mickey's wife.
Today. Today, yeah.
Well, Mickey has your tuck today.
Thanks for reminding me. Sure, thank you. Good. Okay. Simchas. Yeah, Simchas.
Of me.
Yeah.
Ches Omed Beis. Ches Omed Beis.